Here's the title of the sermon tonight. Repent, all you who believe, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord. Repent, all you who believe, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord. What I'm going to do eventually tonight is I'm going to look at that first sermon that Peter gave over in Acts chapter 2 and pull out some themes that run through the whole book. But basically, we're talking about what is the gospel. And so I want to go ahead and come back and do a couple of things before we get there. And the first thing I want to do is I want to again make this connection between the book of Luke and the book of Acts. The same person wrote both books. He's a physician. He traveled with Paul. And you'll see him show up in the book of Acts at times. He wasn't always with Paul, but he was at some times. But he had an account that came from many different witnesses. And so last week, does anybody remember what we talked about? Anybody? How many of you all have been practicing this week? You have been pressing in to the Spirit, praying in tongues, seeking God for a word to exhort other people. We talked about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and prophesying. Prophesying being the most important thing to do in the congregation because that builds people up, that encourages them. Well, that's a transitional idea that bridges Luke and Acts. In the book of Luke, near the end, I'm going to read chapter 24, 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's pretty much the title of my sermon. I don't know if you caught that. And you're witnesses to these things. You are witnesses. You saw these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So this is at the end of the book of Luke. And so now we come to the beginning of the book of Acts. Down in verse 3. He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. And then down verse 7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And so at the end of Luke's gospel, the good news, he says Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem. And they're getting all excited and wanting to go. And at the beginning of the book of Acts, they remember what Jesus said. You guys hang on until you're endued with power. But the most important thing is that you remember, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he had said it in Luke, you've witnessed these things. He says, now I'm going to empower you by the Holy Spirit to be a witness unto me in all the world. And that's the most important thing. The second thing I would point out from last week, I don't think I made as big a deal of it as I should have, but the end result of every time that the Spirit of God came was, number one, the gospel was preached. And number two, that people were saved. In Acts chapter 2, where we read about the first time that the Spirit falls, Peter gets up and preaches. And we're going to go to that sermon tonight and see what he preached. And the end of it, 3,000 people were added to the church. We went to different places. We went over to, I think it was Joppa, where Cornelius the centurion was. He was, the centurions were stationed in different places, and he was stationed over in Joppa. But he was a believer in God, and he had this vision. Peter comes, he preaches, what happens? Everybody who heard the word got saved. They all believed that heard the word. And then over in Acts chapter 19, remember, Paul shows up. He asks, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They hadn't even heard that there be a Holy Ghost. He tells them about it. He baptizes them in the name of Jesus. They all begin to speak in tongues and prophesy. They had been a church for a number of years. We don't know how long exactly. But there were 12 of them. By the time Paul leaves, there's hundreds of them. Because the Spirit of God came and quickened the preaching of the gospel, the good news. And so that's what we want. We live in a time when people are separated from God and they don't know it. When people are not even cognizant of the existence of God. When I was growing up, there was a greater sense of there is a God. I might not be on good terms with God, but there is a God. But I'm telling you, the longer I live, and it's not because I'm living, but the more I see people not even having an idea of God in their mind. Is there any other old person here that seems to be the case to you? No? Just me? Okay, well, does anybody have a Bible? We could go over tithing tonight. Okay, well, yeah, there you go. Only you, Bill, would do that. No, so we really need the Spirit of God to come because we see the brokenness, the sexual brokenness, the financial brokenness, the brokenness of relationship, the brokenness of joy, the brokenness of God's glory in the earth. And for me, it's almost easier to share now because you don't have to deal with all the misconceptions of God. But it's a different problem. You've got to realize the fact that people somehow aren't connecting with the fact that there is a God. And so I have come up with a new method that I think would really be effective, and I want to share that tonight. It's called sharing the gospel. And I don't know, I think some other people may have thought of that, but we're going to look at the gospel, which is the good news, and we're going to go through it, and we're going to see the themes that get started here, but it's this message that goes all the way through the book of Acts. So Jesus came, did what he needed to do, ascended, sent the Holy Spirit, and now the Holy Spirit wants to quicken you to share the gospel. And you will see over and over and over in all kinds of cultures. It goes to Athens. It goes to Rome. It goes to Corinth. It goes to Ephesus. It gets over into northern Asia Minor. And they're all very different cultures. And it's the gospel. It is the message that's preached about Jesus that captures hearts. And so I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit tonight if he would come and reignite us about the gospel and deliver us from feeling like somehow we have to come up with some new method or some new sneaky way, but to realize that it is the preaching of the good news, the gospel, that God uses by the Holy Spirit, and that's what we have to get in our mind. It is the Holy Spirit who quickens a person to come into the kingdom of God. If you can intellectually convince someone to proclaim Christ, but they're not convicted and they don't truly, by the Holy Spirit, come to a place of faith, all you've done is socialize them into the Christian religion. There has to be a work of the Spirit, and we're dependent upon that. And so we're going to look at the gospel and see how they preached it. And it's going to come from Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to pick up in verse 21. So this is really the first sermon after the Holy Spirit has fallen. And we're going to look through. And I'm going to pull out maybe five themes that are woven into the gospel. And they're not only here in this sermon, but they reappear throughout the book of Acts so that we can have a good, solid understanding of what the gospel is. So Could I get somebody with the Bible to come up and just read it? Acts 2:21-36. Who here close has a Bible that they could come up and read?
Okay. Your father-in-law would want to come up, but this makes me more proud, so go ahead.
Chapter 2, verse 56 through 98. No, it's verse 21 through 36. You can take your mask down if you want.
21 to 36?
Yes, please. Thank you.
And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord is saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, and I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon his soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. But being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he did not abandon to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and to that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received him from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heavens, but he said to himself, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified.
Father, I ask that you would bless the reading of your word to our hearts, and God, that that you would quicken us by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would be witnesses, and Father, that we would understand the gospel, and Father, the spiritual work that goes on when it's shared. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to walk down through this. We're going to pull a few things out. So it starts out pretty simple. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so throughout history, hopefully in the history of our lives, hopefully in our experience, there are people who all of a sudden call upon the name of the Lord. And when they do that, they're saved. How many of you all would like to see that happen in your lifetime with some people you know and love? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you to be a witness to that gospel, to that good news of Jesus Christ. This is our promise. Verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. One of the primary themes that they are going to preach throughout the book of Acts is that Jesus was crucified, dead, and then he was resurrected. How many of y'all have ever heard that before? There was this man who walked the earth, and he was crucified. He was dead. He was supposed to stink, but instead he wasn't there. Sometimes that has great impact. Sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes I wonder why you say that. It does have impact, and sometimes it doesn't. It's like, oh yeah, we believe in Jesus Christ. You know, he was dead, buried, crucified, dead, buried, resurrected. But sometimes it captures you, and you are taken away with the fact of resurrection life. I believe a lot of it has to do with the Holy Spirit coming and making it real. And I think sometimes, and help me, this is just me thinking alone in my bedroom. I think sometimes we believe that the gospel is kind of blasé, kind of lost its power. People have heard it a lot, and I don't need to tell my workmate the gospel. I got to come up with some thing that will make it happen. Does anybody ever feel that way? It's just a few people? How many of you feel like a lot of other people feel that way? Raise your hand. Like they don't really think just sharing the gospel would work. And so you've got to have some new creative, dramatic presentation that, you know, is four color and it's got this story that's written. How many of you all... Can I connect with a few of you on this? I think we need to admit that. We need to confess that. And we need to come back and we need to believe that this story must be shared because it is what the Holy Spirit chooses to use to bring somebody to call upon the name of the Lord. If we can do it in our own mind, in our own efforts, it's not salvation. And if it's the Holy Spirit convicting of the truth of one simple story, then we put our faith in God and we present the story and He will do the work. And I really want to continually bring us back to this. We do the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. We do meals. We do a lot of things to get to the place that we can share the gospel. But until the gospel is preached, people cannot be saved. It's only through the gospel by the Holy Spirit that people come into the kingdom of God. And so the first thing that we see about the gospel, what is the good news? What is the story? It is that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. It's very important that you see that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. And I don't mean to be philosophical. I couldn't if I wanted to. But I think if you realize that the truths of the gospel speak to the reality of mankind, it will set you free from thinking that you have to have some new modern approach to the gospel. Here's what I mean. People exist a certain way. All over the world, people are created in the image of God. And in some places... Well, in all places, they're fallen, and they come up with ideas. But there are truths about human beings that the gospel addresses. And so, first of all, when you preach the resurrection, it may seem blasé to you. It may seem like it doesn't penetrate. But here's what you need to know. Every man and every woman fears death. They do. They try to avoid thinking about death. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter how they live. Deep down inside, there is a fear of death. In Hebrews, it tells us as Christians that we were in bondage to the fear of death. See, they don't know it, but they are. And God wants to tap into that. Yeah, it's a good thing for you to be afraid of death. And let me tell you about a man, death couldn't keep him in the ground. And so whether on the surface level, you think the gospel is penetrating, in a much deeper way, the Holy Spirit can take it and bring to life the thing that needs to come alive in that person to be afraid of death. Does that make sense? This is truth. The gospel addresses humanity as it truly exists. Humanity, whether they admit it or not, no matter how much they party, no matter how much they philosophize and train their mind to be atheistic. We know something. Deep down inside, death occurs. And it's a fearful thing. And so, part of the gospel is to help them understand that Jesus Christ was dead, but there is a man who came back from the grave. And our promise is that if we come into his kingdom, we become those kind of people. And I think in a minute we'll talk about repentance. I don't think it's by mistake that right before he says, God turned him over to you and you crucified him, it says in verse 22, Israel, hear these words, Jesus, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, ye yourselves also know. Over in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it's going to go on to say, he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I think the whole idea there is he was a good man, and he went around doing good. Over in the epistles, they're going to fill this out, and they're going to say, although he knew no sin, he became a sin offering for us. This was a good man, and they killed him. And death can't keep a good man in the grave. And so that already creates a dilemma in their mind, because somewhere they know that they're not ultimately a good person. And so you're speaking to the reality of who they are. And then it goes on and it talks about David. It says that David talked about his Lord. But David has already died. And there's this realization that David was talking about Jesus. Verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And so over and over and over, it's going to talk about Jesus being resurrected. Acts 4:10, the people of Israel, that the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, God raised him from the dead. Acts 5:29 through 32, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, who you slew. Acts 17:31. He's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereat he hath given assurance unto all men. And how does he give assurance to all men? In that he has raised him from the dead. Over and over and over, Paul goes from city to city. Peter preaches it. God hath raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It is powerful. And the Spirit of God takes that and it penetrates the hearts of the unrepentant. Okay. And so David is talking, though. And he goes on in verse 33. I mean, he's quoting David and talking about David in the kingdom. Verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. So now Jesus has been what? Exalted. He's been exalted back to the right hand of God the Father. We've been talking about David and his kingship. And so the second thing, the second theme that you have to realize is that it is the preaching of the kingdom of God. It is a kingdom. And over you're going to see through the book of Acts, it talks about the kingdom of God coming, and Jesus being the Christ, and Jesus being the Lord. Verse 34, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, the one that was crucified and resurrected, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So again, That may not sound real impressive if you are into trying to be relevant. But it is very impressive if you're trying to be relevant. Because people are looking for a kingdom. People believe that there is a kingdom somewhere of peace where they can live. And they're looking for that place. Right now, in America, you see a group of people who believe that our government is unjust, that our government needs to transform into a different way of allowing us to live together. They're rioting in the streets. They're putting up barriers. They're creating their own little subcultures because they honestly believe that there is a better way to live. And if you look at history, you will see the history of men fighting with one another to take land, to establish a country so that that country can live in peace like man is supposed to live. Over and over and over in history, people are looking for a kingdom. And the gospel says, yes. And there is a kingdom in which you can live. It's the kingdom of God. And it happens as you come into agreement about God with the fact that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. And the thing about the kingdom of God is it responds to a different need in people, and it's a need for a hero. It's a need for a deliverer. Story after story that you've read or that your parents have read to you when you were little, it has a hero who comes and saves the day. Our King is also our hero. He is our Savior. He is the one with the superpower to come and deliver us and establish His kingdom. So in your sharing with other people by the Holy Spirit, know that in them, they are not completely satisfied with the culture in which they live, and they believe there's something better. If you will share with them the better kingdom, guess what? The Spirit of God inside of them, the Spirit of God inside of you, will quicken them. And when you share these words, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. That there is a man who lived a good life, and he died, and death couldn't keep him in the grave, and he has set up a kingdom, and you can come become a part of it. Even if you're not a good storyteller, and Paul was not all that good at speaking, the Spirit of God will take it, and it will bring to life inside of them the truth that you want them to live by. Acts 4:33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Acts 9:42, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Acts 10:36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. If you can't keep up, mark it down, 10:36. Peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord, the ultimate ruler over all. Acts 10:48, and He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 11:17, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as He did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I that I could withstand God? Christ in the Old Testament is Messiah, and it's the one they look to deliver them. Lord is just the same as King. Acts 1:3, He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Acts 28:31, preaching the kingdom of God. In verse 37 then, so first of all, the resurrection. Second of all, that there is a kingdom, and Jesus is the ruler of that kingdom. They were pricked in their heart. They were pricked in their heart. Why were they pricked in their heart? Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In the preaching of this story, they realized that they had not lived unto the King of Kings. They realized that they lived their lives for this world. And it says that they were cut to their heart and they said, what must I do? And here's the third point. The answer to this is the third point. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Again, let me tell you a secret about every person in the world. They're guilty before God. And deep down, their conscience will tell them they're guilty. And when they hear about this good man that was crucified because of their sins, and when they hear that there's a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy, and they've lived a self-centered life, the Spirit of God will come in and will prick their heart, and they will be cut. And they will say, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, what can I do? And you have the opportunity to tell them, repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. You promise people the Holy Ghost. People know that they can never be good enough. They know they're guilty, and they know they can never be good enough. All over the world, people have systems to deal with their guilt. They set up all kinds of justice systems. They set up all kinds of social interactions to deal with the fact that they weren't the teenager they should be. They weren't the father they should be. They weren't the employee they should be. They treated this person bad. They flipped somebody off on the way to work. That guilt remains there, and they find all kinds of ways to try to get to it. All they have to do is repent and be baptized. And the promise of the Holy Ghost is this. That guilty life that you've lived, not only will you be forgiven, not only are you baptized for the remission of your sins, but now you are filled with the Holy Ghost. And you can live a life worthy of heaven by the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, people want that. People know they're guilty, and people don't want to live in their sin. And we have this promise. Hey, listen, if you will admit that you have lived to yourself, you've lived to sin, you've only done what you want to do, if you'll repent, and that is just decide, I'm no longer going to live for myself, and you'll be baptized. And that baptism is this. Baptism is, and that would be point number four, baptism is an understanding of what repentance is. It is an outward act that appropriates grace. And I'll tell you this, people need outward acts that appropriate spiritual things. People need to go through a ceremony of baptism to come to full faith, or God wouldn't have us do it. It plays a purpose of grace in our lives. And it's a theme throughout the book. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. You need to turn from your wicked ways. And you need to understand what it means for that old man to die. And we need to bury that old man. And you can come to life. I'm telling you, this is a beautiful story to the person who's walking in the fear of death, to the people who know that they're guilty, the people who are looking for a better way of life. This is the foundational story that everybody is wanting to live out. Over and over and over through the book of Acts, as they preach, you're going to hear them say, repent and be converted, Acts 3:19. Acts 5:31, he gives repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Acts 8:22, repent of your wickedness and pray that perhaps God will forgive you. Acts 17:30, in the times of this ignorance, God winked, but now commandeth all men everywhere to, say it. God commands all men everywhere to. For those of you who are on the Zoom, can you turn that on? Because it's not very loud here, so we need some more noise. No, I'm kidding. That would be a disaster. Oh, no, turn it on. Can you turn it on? Oh, it would be feedback. Bummer. All right. Well, we'll get that worked out, but we'll get a speaker, and then you all can participate. All right. Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 2:41, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. So, they realized that there is hope beyond death. They understood that there is truly a kingdom of peace. And they understood that they weren't a part of it. And they were pricked. And they repented. And they said, bury that old man. How many of you have been buried? Do you remember when you were buried? How many of you have been resurrected? This is the story that people need to hear. And the Spirit of God will take it, and he will change their lives just like he changed yours. 8:12, when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Acts 10:47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? Acts 22:16, well, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized. And wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 18:8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. They went through a ceremony. They went through an outward act that was a place where God met with them, bearing the old man and bringing them to life by the Holy Spirit. That was number 4, baptism. So let me go back and read the numbers to make sure we're keeping up. First of all, death and resurrection. Sharing the gospel, it's the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number 2, it's the kingdom. We are preaching the kingdom. Number 3, we preach repentance. Number 4, we preach baptism, burial, and resurrection. And the 5th thing I want to mention is implied, as many as call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it's not exactly mentioned here, but it's mentioned about 40 or 45 times throughout the book of Acts. And it's the word believe. If you see the word faith or believe, believe is the verb form of faith. And it's the same word in the Greek. So to have faith could also be written believe. They had faith is the noun for to believe. About 40 or 45 times it says that you should believe. That last verse that we read about being baptized, verse 18 or chapter 18, verse 8, it says, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. Many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. I think the last verse we mentioned on repentance, Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and believing or faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So the fifth thing that I would throw out here as a theme for us is the whole idea of faith or believing in Jesus Christ. Acts 13:39, all that believe are justified from all things. All that believe are justified from all things. People are wanting to be justified. There's a TV show called Justified. And it's about a guy who, in a particular situation, shot another man. And there's quite always questions about it. But the question is always, was he justified? Could he have done something different? But that theme of justice, it runs through everything. The only way to really be just and to deal with your guilt is through faith in Jesus Christ. Because no matter how much you pay back, you'll never be able to pay back what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. Faith. Acts 15:11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they are. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your whole house. Acts 16:8. I have no idea why I put that one there. Acts 16:37 probably says something about it. I'm going to end there. So five things that are themes to this book. The first one is say it real loud. Death and resurrection. The second one, we're preaching the kingdom. The third one, the fourth one, and the fifth one. So these are not just religious things that people go through, but is an unveiling of the reality in the heart of man. I can assure you that in the heart of every person that you would like to see come into the kingdom of God, there is a fear of death. There is some hidden hope that there is a deliverer. There is a desire for a better kingdom than in what they live. And they know they need to be better, but they cannot. And they need to die to themselves and come alive to Christ. And they need to believe this story. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you to witness to the fact that there is a better kingdom. To witness to the fact that there is a king. To witness to the fact that there is forgiveness. To witness to the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, is a resurrected Savior, and He can save your soul. And so I'm going to give you a third thing to do as we're talking about the Holy Spirit and moving through the book of Acts. Number one, speak in tongues. Number two, pray and earnestly desire to prophesy. But number three, meditate on the gospel. Meditate on the preaching as you go through. Let that live big in you. And then believe God to give you places where you can literally share the gospel. We are great at taking bread to the neighbors. We are great at smiling at people and being good to them. We are great at having people over to eat, but we need to let our faith stir up that the gospel is what saves people and move faster to that place where we share with them. Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and because of our sins, He was crucified. But God loved you enough to allow that to happen. The Bible says God turned Him over so that we could kill Him, so that your sins could be forgiven. And you know, it never tells people that they're sinners. He tells them that they're wicked and that they've slayed Christ. That's scary. But you know what? People might argue with you if you try to convince them that they're wicked, but they know it's true on the inside. And ultimately, they have to admit that before they come into a relationship with God. How can they repent of their sin without being cut to the heart? And over, it calls us to repentance in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask the Lord to help us find that opportunity. I would love for everyone to pray and ask God to give you this opportunity to actually share the gospel. I'm all about friendship evangelism. I'm all about doing good works. But more than that, I believe the gospel is the power of God and the salvation. And we've got to get to that place. Some of you have been prepping your neighbors for 48 years. It's time for them to hear the gospel. It's time for them to hear the good news, the proclamation that the King has come. Amen? All right. How many of you believe that the Holy Spirit, as we cultivate our life in the Holy Spirit, can orchestrate those times? Just like Philip showed up, and here was that eunuch in front of him like, whoa, what's going on here? I'm going to believe God to do that in my life, and let's believe God to do it in our lives. All right, keep reading the book of Acts, and keep cultivating your faith that the Spirit of God is going to come. And I really believe that God is going to begin to bring testimonies on Saturday night of where God has given us that opportunity. He has prepared the world for it. They are ready to hear a message of hope. Not a hope that in a shot that's going to protect them from one pandemic. Not in an election won or lost. But they are looking for a hope that goes beyond anything that can shake this world. And that's the hope that came in Jesus Christ when he was born. So let's pray. And then let's just begin to worship God. And let's get in the presence of the Spirit and let him stir up in us this truth about Jesus. So let's all stand. Hallelujah.